ABC Radio Australia.
An agreement to establish a loss and damage fund to help developing countries adapt to climate change was a major outcome of the recent COP27 climate summit in Egypt. It came after significant lobbying from Pacific Island countries, who celebrated the agreement as a win. But will this fund actually be successful? It's a question UN Assistant Secretary General and Director of the UNDP Regional Bureau for Asia Pacific, Kani Wignaraj, is asking. She spoke with the ABC's Marion Farr during a visit to Canberra.
Putting this right at the centre of the table in COP27 was a win. But establishing aid, we know, is not enough. So the hope is that they will actually be able to resource it. I mean, we've seen, if you recollect, from previous COPs, there's a long delayed promise of $100 billion a year, I think it was, in climate financing that was promised, and that's still waiting in the wings. So while politically it was very good and in very much in the public domain to have a loss and damages fund as part of the final outcome, I can only hope that there is a follow-up to actually put money into this.
And if that fund is established, are you confident that all Pacific Island states, with the exception of Australia and New Zealand, will be beneficiaries, will be able to access this fund?
I don't know. That is something that is yet to be worked out. I think these are the kind of legal and regulatory frameworks that will have to be set up in terms of how and who gets to access these funds. I mean, from a very political and practical realism point of view, one would think that the poorest and most vulnerable countries that are already starting to sink, that those would be at the front of the line should this fund be actualized.
The climate situation in the Pacific is clearly at an urgent stage. Do you think that we can realistically expect this fund to be operational within, say, a year's time? I know that's kind of the framework that's being thrown around. Is that realistic?
You know, I think a big test of this commitment that we heard at COP27 is indeed to see how quickly this fund can get off the ground. The agreement was that 20 plus countries, north and south, will come together in the new year to look at what form this fund should take, who would be contributors to the fund, and how the resources could be distributed. And I think that is going to be the real test. And I hope it doesn't again sit in the wings like other promissory notes, so to speak, on climate financing.
Turning to a different security issue, we're seeing a greater geopolitical focus on the Pacific, with China and Australia and the United States devoting more resources and attention to the region. There are fears this could have implications on the security of the islands. Is the United Nations also concerned about security and conflict in the region as a result of this geopolitical interest?
I think for us, I mean, we've always, you know, been working with all of the Pacific Islands in terms of peace building issues. And as you know, throughout the decades now of making sure that certainly internal conflicts and peace agreements, I mean, we've been accompanying these situations for decades. So, you know, there can be no human development without human peace. So, of course, anything that starts to shake issues, whether it's maritime security, whether it's territories, land territory issues, whether it's tribal conflict, all of these issues are deeply concerning. So I do hope that on the larger geopolitical field, that the big players really do put the interests of the Pacific Islands first and foremost, and not their own, in the fact that they are all increasing visibility and presence here.
And do you think that geopolitical contest does put the region at a heightened security risk?
Well, I mean, history has shown that it always does. And so that's where the ability to always have calm spaces to mediate, to negotiate, to come to even uneasy agreements is so important because, you know, these tensions, there's always tensions around the world. I mean, I think this is part of the age of the Anthropocene or the age of humans. There's always these tensions. The issue is always how to keep them in balance and in check so that those people who have absolutely nothing to do with these tensions, and these are often the poorest, the most marginal, marginalized communities, that they don't suffer from the larger issue playing out. So keeping peace in the Pacific certainly is paramount.